Would you like to share something you've heard on Issues Etc. via email, Facebook, Twitter, or text message? We've made it easy for you. Just go to the Listen On Demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, and click Share This. You'll find almost 50 ways to share Issues Etc. audio. We love our on-demand listeners. Old Theology, New Technology, issuesetc.org. Go to the Listen On Demand page and click Share This.
We are certainly aware of a recent string of attacks against Christians from Iraq to Egypt to Nigeria.
I'm not some kind of a psychic, so I want everybody to understand that, but I ask God for direction, and He very graciously gives it to me from time to time.
I think you can expect tremendous material coming from the mainstream press this year focusing on the Democrats have learned their lesson and they're going to try to get religion again.
I don't know where we got this. He hates sin but loves the sinner. He damned sinners. And were not for Christ, that would be the last word. That would be all there is.
Indiana truck drivers love Issues Etc.
The violence is astonishing. People killed by the scores, especially that attack that happened just before the holidays in Iraq, a place where Christians have in the past been able to live in relative peace for centuries. And then we hear about the same kind of violence against Christians, largely by the Muslim populace in Egypt, in Nigeria, now in Pakistan. What's even more astonishing is how sparse the news reports are about this violence. Usually, we become accustomed in the United States to thinking about Christianity as something that's always practiced freely. Not if you live in a Muslim-dominated country. It might even cost you your life. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We'll begin today's program talking with Robert Spencer of Jihad Watch about attacks on Christians in Egypt, Iraq, Nigeria, and Pakistan. Then we'll talk to Pastor John Veeker about the season of Epiphany. It's Thursday afternoon. It is Epiphany Day, January the 6th. We're coming to you live. You can join us for the next hour, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. You can send us an email right here in the studio. We get them in real time. Talkback@issuesetc.org. Talkback@issuesetc.org. You can send us a tweet at issuesetc or visit our Facebook fan page. Leave your question or comment on the season of Epiphany for our conversation here in a few minutes with Pastor John Veeker. Facebook.com/issuesetc. Facebook.com/issuesetc. Robert Spencer is director of Jihad Watch, columnist for Human Events and Front Page Magazine, and author of several books about Islam, including his latest, The Complete Infidel's Guide to the Quran. Robert, welcome back.
Todd, always a pleasure. Thank you.
What do you think is motivating these recent violent, in many cases deadly, attacks on Christians in Egypt, Iraq, Nigeria, and elsewhere?
Well, Todd, there are two things. One is the immediate cause, which is the controversy surrounding two women in Egypt. They are the wives of two Coptic Christian priests, and they, according to the Muslims, converted to Islam. And were then abducted by the Copts and are being held against their will. And the Muslims are demanding that they be released. This is the explicit reason for the attacks given by the Iraqi jihadis when they attacked the church in Baghdad. And it is also something that other jihadis in the area have mentioned. It's very questionable that that's the case because it seems to, that their story is accurate, that is, because it seems to be yet another example of Islamic jihadist projection where they accuse others of what they themselves are guilty of doing. Because the Coptic Christians in Egypt have for years documented the abduction of Christian girls and their forcible conversion to Islam against their will and against the will of their families. And this is something that has been going on for many years. Pope Shenouda, the leader of the Coptic Church, has spoken out against it many times, as well as other Coptic leaders. And so for this threatened community, this threatened minority community, the Coptic Christians in Egypt, to turn around and do the same thing to the Muslims when they are in such danger and have been subjected to persecution and harassment for years, it strains credulity. And so I think that that brings us down to the core reason why these things are happening, and that is that there is a concerted effort, as the Melkite Greek Catholic Patriarch Gregory III, who's based in Damascus, he said a few years back, there's a concerted effort to drive the Christians out of the Middle East and to leave it as one homogeneous Islamic population in every country there. And I think that's really what's behind this. They see their chance now with Barack Obama in the White House. They know he's not going to do much or anything to combat this, and so they are taking advantage of his weakness.
So if you would, briefly tell us about some of the recent violence in particular in each one of these countries, beginning with Egypt.
In Egypt, it's been, as I said, going on for years. And New Year's Eve, there was a terrible attack with a bomb at a church, and I believe it was 21 people killed, 80 wounded. This is something that is part of an ongoing thing, because not only has it been going on for years, but also jihad groups in Egypt have threatened that they're going to do it again at Christmas time. The Copts celebrate Christmas on January 7th, and that means that today is Christmas Eve, and they have said that Muslims should be striking against churches on Christmas Eve, whenever the churches are crowded. And so the Copts are bracing themselves, and there's tight security around the churches there today. This is something that people are very concerned about, because obviously if they have attacked in the past, then there's no reason why they cannot and will not again. And especially with the direct threats, it's a very tense situation there right now. At the same time, in Iraq, it's the same thing. Over half of the Christians who lived there during the time of Saddam Hussein and from time immemorial have left now. In the face of jihadist persecution, the worst example of it, of course, was just a few weeks ago when 68 people were murdered in a horrendous, horrible attack in a church in Baghdad, when the church was packed with worshipers and jihadis came in, started firing. The photos from inside the church afterward are just heartrending, with blood everywhere and everything destroyed. This is just one of many attacks upon the Christians in Baghdad. In Nigeria, there's an ongoing persecution of Christians as jihadis from the north, the northern state of Kano, which has already implemented Islamic law, are trying to impose it on the rest of the country. In Pakistan, it's the same situation with Christians being harassed and threatened. There were some massacres there a few years ago in churches. More recently, there have been individual Christians victimized by the blasphemy law. I believe it's Section 295 of the Pakistani Criminal Code makes blasphemy a criminal and possibly a capital offense. And the problem with that is that then Christians are victimized on this basis, because the Muslims go to individual Christians that they have a grudge against or that they want to gain some kind of advantage over, and they ask them questions about their faith. And then if the Christians answer and say, well, they don't believe that Muhammad is a prophet, or they believe that Jesus is the Son of God or something like that, then the Muslims will accuse them of blasphemy, and people have been imprisoned unjustly, and even worse, people have been acquitted of this, but then killed by mobs, because this is something that is very popular in Pakistan. As a matter of fact, there have been nationwide riots recently of Muslims protesting against politicians who have said that they want to change the blasphemy laws and ease them. And the Muslims are up in arms. As a matter of fact, people who say that this is that Islamic jihad and Islamic supremacism are something invented by a tiny minority of extremists who are twisting the peaceful teachings of Islam, they need to go and look at what's happening in Pakistan right now. Because in Pakistan, you have right now 500 Muslim scholars, Muslim clerics who have dedicated their lives to knowing and understanding Islam. and they have signed a statement saying that there should be no change to the blasphemy laws, that blasphemy is a capital offense in Islam, and that Pakistan is right to have this kind of law on the books. And obviously they don't care if Christians are victimized by these laws.
Finally then, with about a minute here, Robert, what can be done to either prevent or squelch these kind of attacks against Christians, largely by the Muslim populace?
Well, there's really very little that we can do from here. If the President of the United States and the United Nations and the human rights community, they don't seem interested in this. And so I suppose that's the first thing that we need to do, is try to raise awareness of this. The mainstream media in general is not covering it. And so we need to do all that we can to alert people to the plight of Christians in the Middle East, and to call upon the President and the international human rights community to stand up to them. I was actually thinking of calling for a boycott of Pakistan and a boycott of businesses that do business with Pakistan until they repeal this blasphemy law. And that's something that you can watch for at jihadwatch.org.
Finally, with only 30 seconds, how do you explain the apparent inaction in the face of one story after another about violence against Christians in these various countries? How do you explain the apparent inaction from our leaders and other world leaders?
Well, you know what it is. Christians are identified with America and the West, and so they're considered to be strong, a dominant group, and not a persecuted group. It doesn't fit the media paradigm. It doesn't fit the paradigm that our government is working along to consider them to be a persecuted minority. The Muslims are supposed to be the victims in this play, and so they can't seem to think out of the box in that regard, or don't want to.
Robert Spencer is director of Jihad Watch, a columnist for Human Events and Front Page magazine, author of several books about Islam, including his latest, The Complete Infidel's Guide to the Quran. You can purchase The Complete Infidel's Guide to the Quran under the Listen On Demand page at our website, issuesetc.org. Thanks, Robert.
Thank you.
When we come back from this break, Pastor John Vicar joins us in the studio. Today begins the season of Epiphany. It's a day and a season, actually, one of the larger seasons of the church year, and in many ways unsung. I mean, people can tell you about Lent, they can tell you about Advent, they can tell you about Christmas, they can tell you even a little something about Pentecost, but if you mention Epiphany, they might not even be able to define the word, and yet the church celebrates in earnest this, what, continuation of the celebration of Christ's incarnation among us, the season of Epiphany beginning on this Thursday, January the 6th. Pastor John Vicar will be in the studio talking about that season for the remainder of this hour after this. If you're a talk radio junkie like me, you might assume that the programming is free. Commercial advertisers pay for the production costs and staff salaries. Well, that's true for most radio talk shows, but not for Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is listener-supported. We rely on you to pay for the production, salary, and airtime costs for this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin, asking you to consider making a tax-deductible gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or you can donate by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio. The address? LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Remember, unlike other talk radio shows, Issues Etc. needs your financial support. We depend on you for the continuation and expansion of Issues Etc. Thanks for your consideration.
Treadmill for the Mind. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Imagine steadfastlutherans.org as the internet version of your neighborhood pub. Your neighborhood confessional Lutheran pub, that is, where the finest in Lutheran conversation is going on at every table and at the bar, sometimes contentious, but always informative and unabashedly Lutheran. We're only serving Wittenberg Ale. We even have a guy named Norm, so check us out. www.steadfastlutherans.org. We'll save a seat at the bar for you.
The latest edition of the online Issues Etc. journal is out. It contains an article that I've written titled The Theology of Jesus. What's the connection between the Church's Confession of Christ and her Confession of the Trinity? Find out with the latest Issues Etc. journal. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Pastor Mason Beecroft writes about the false promises of Pop American Christianity. Get your copy of the latest Issues Etc. journal by sending your name and email address to journal@issuesetc.org.